It's been quite a while since we've seen each other. I'm so pleased to see you again. Last time we talked, quite a few years ago now, I spoke of my great catastrophe, and you stared at me with your very large eyes like saying, "This is terrible," mixed with, "I don't know what to say." I've always thought your vision and hope for other people was beautiful before the Lord. I can't really guess your situation, although I've heard, yet honestly I don't actually know anything, but I can say God has put you on my heart day and night in the last few weeks. Last night, the Lord woke me up at 12:30 a.m., and I had such a burden for you, all I could think to do was talk to the Lord. In the middle of all that praying, I had the bright idea to talk to you as if you were right there, like you are now. For 2 hours, we had a conversation. Your words were imaginary, and my words lifted into the dark of the room, softly, so as to not wake my wife. Like I said, I don't really know your situation, but I certainly can tell you about mine in the wake of the catastrophic events of my life all those years ago. I hope you can relate enough to know there is goodness, strength, and courage that will rise from what you think are the ashes of disappointed dreams. Nights are the hardest. Alone in the evening when I was used to people talking with conversations here and there. All gone. Just alone in the dark, it seemed, even though the lights were on. I learned there are words shared in a marital relationship which others are not privy to. Even though they aren't intimate words, they still rightfully belonged to the other person. And when that person isn't there anymore, all you hear is your own breath. And there, in the silence of the late night, it was only me and the Lord, and truly, being betrayed is hard to get past. I knew God heard me, but I didn't know just how close He was to my grief. Oh, and I'll tell you, the grief was very near to my heart. During my alone time, I must confess, I didn't do everything right. In fact, I let go of my morals and scruples for a little bit. The grief was just so close to me, I couldn't keep myself upright for a while. I felt like I was always holding my breath, and it felt good for just a moment, till it didn't. In the meantime, I learned some things about grief too. Grief always demands an answer, but sometimes there's just not one. And the other was that grief is never logical, and it doesn't actually solve anything. It's just where we are in the role of things, like an untethered boat bumping back and forth against a shoreline. And then, like the morning mist, God's grace comes in like the returning tide, overwhelming our defenses. At first, life is 90% terrible and 10% not terrible. And yes, I didn't say good, only not terrible. Over time, the Lord tips the scales, and it becomes 80% terrible and 20% not. Then 70%, 30%, then 60-40, and one day it's 50-50, and 50% is no longer merely not terrible, but actually begins to be pretty okay. Initially, you seem to always wake up crying and angry all at the same time. I'm glad that passes, because it's a hard place to live. I know you might be bitter and really disappointed at how things turned out, but the tide has gone out and come in again in the meantime. For sure, in your head you had dreamy visions of how life was going to turn out. The long walks, the pillow talk, dreamy holidays and kisses as sweet as chocolate-covered apricots. and when it didn't, and then it didn't even more, and then it really, really didn't. Well, yeah, it was just hard. Sadly, I can relate, and I want you to know I'm on your side, wherever you are, and I will not stop being on your side. You were always a valuable voice in the ears of the home crowd, and now it may seem to yourself you're just a voice in the dark, with all the pictures on the wall just staring with nothing left to say. Sometimes you may think your bed is where you really live, but it's not supposed to be. So you find a spark of energy to go brush your teeth and make a bit of tea. You try to brush your hair, looking at your weary face in the mirror, and suddenly you're just so heavy. You drop the brush and cry some more. I want to learn to play to win, not merely play to lose. I learned three things about waiting. Waiting creates time during which we learn to trust God again. Waiting on God prepares us to have our real needs met. And waiting gives us time to work out our faith. I will say, though, waiting is bizarre when you have no idea what you're waiting for. Yet there you sit in the chair with no idea how you got there, waiting for something. And you think, where is God? I feel like I'm dying here, and where are you? And all those prophetic words people had. Yeah. All of them laying their hands on you, praying their amazing prayers with such fire and surety. And none of it seems to have gone where you thought. The broken dreams and what appears to be unfulfilled words and prayers. But look here now. I can relate. And this is important. God has not left. And those prayers, they weren't for nothing. They may take time to be brought to fruition, but it's not a complete loss. And sure, there's always those friends around with some of the worst counsel there ever was. And their words just stick and are really hard to forget. Those folks mean well. They really do, except the words are just not for now, and they don't know it. Let them go. Yeah, easier said than done, but it can be done. Jesus isn't done with you, and I know you. You're not done with him. It's just a difficult time. The clouds will move on when the wind blows. It just takes time. You've got to get up, my young friend. You've got to get up. In the name of Jesus, come on, get up. The wind is starting to blow, and there's blue sky behind those dark clouds. The Lord will help you find your feet again, even if you don't want him around. He's not going anywhere. I know from experience, he's far more present than we think. Notice I did not say you had to go to church to be okay, because it's not true. That's not it. We need to begin by speaking with the Lord, tell him all about it, and then again, and then again. You're not the type to allow unkind circumstances beat you down so bad you can't get up. You'll get up again, and you'll find such insight and understanding present with you, you'll be amazed over and over. Inch by inch, life is a cinch. Yard by yard, it's very hard. It just takes time. I memorized this during my time of brokenness from the Journal of the Unknown Prophet. And you hear his whisper, I have sought you all your life. Through all the pain, through the loneliness, I have sought you. Each time your heart broke soundlessly with the agony of not belonging, I sought you. Through each rejection, through each hour of despair, I sought you. I was there, loving you, reaching out to you. It was me all along, And as your eyelids gently close, you are engulfed in his tender embrace, and the tears fall somewhere through the sands of time in that gray place between sleeping and waking. You recognize that familiar presence, and you too know that he was there. It was he all along. Like the song says, Lord, we rest our eyes on you. We are waiting. You are our garland of grace. God was working in your life, even when you didn't know it was God working in your life and in your circumstances. I know I may never see you again, but I believe one day, where the sea conspires with the sky, we'll meet again, and what a day it'll be. It gets better, my friend, it gets better. As bitterness and disappointment fade away, God makes the difference. You'll see. I'd love to hear from you. So write to Living in His Name Ministries, P.O. Box 5292, Bend, Oregon 97708. Joe and Victoria would love to hear from you too. I love you, my friend, and miss you heaps, piles, hunks, and chunks.